This is Free America broadcasting on the Rod Echols Show with a message to all patriots trapped behind the lines in California, New York, Boston, and Chicago. Don't give up, true lovers of America. Even as we speak, moves are being made to drive the invaders back to the land from which they came. Defeat the would-be dictators and lift the chains of tyranny from around your neck. Stay strong. Stay brave. You're not forgotten, and you're not alone. Until next time, patriots, this is Free America signing out.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Hump Day, September number 19 in the year of our Lord 2018. I am your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio, located somewhere within the great grand estate of New Hampshire, where this Wednesday morning it is kind of a dreary morning, nothing like it was yesterday, unfortunately. What are we, 1 or 2 days away from the beginning of the autumnal season, autumn, otherwise known as fall? But it's going to be kind of cooler, much cooler today than it has been recently, which is okay. We have today, this morning, the Intel report, of course, coming up. You're going to want to be here for that. The call-in number this morning is 603-499-7325. Again, that's 603-499-7325. That is the Hot Rod line. Got so many things on the plate this morning besides the Intel report. Going to be getting into something. I was right again. Didn't even take 24 hours for me to be proven right. And just remember, I said this before these articles came out. There's a senator out there who thinks that all men should shut up. We'll get into that. Hillary's back. There is a Republican win, which again indicates no blue wave in a special election. You won't believe what Barry Sotero, a.k.a. Barack Obama, is getting from his own city of Chicago. Of course, now there's reports about spending. Have I not told you about spending? Get into some of that later today. Maybe I'll even weigh in on some Bert and Ernie stuff today. And we have some chance, some time, some stuff that's happening out in Berkeley that has got meat eaters in a fit. They are fit to be tied out there. it's just, well, it is California in any case. We got a lot on our plate this morning, but first, anybody see what's happening up there in Canada? Well, I guess there are a bunch of, well, you know, Trudeau's a Liberal Party. There are people peeling off the Canadian Liberal Trudeau plantation, and they're starting to really lay the pressure on Justin Trudeau to at least start talking with Trump about NAFTA, because, you know, Trudeau was up there saying, well, no deal's better, no deal's better than a bad deal. And there are a lot of people, especially the largest, most populous province, Quebec. What do they call it? He's not a governor, but the governor, basically, of Quebec is saying, that's not a good idea. In light of what's happened with Mexico and the reality is folks, look, Trudeau is is betting on our Congress not to drop NAFTA and go with a better U.S.-Mexican deal. Justin Trudeau is counting on our Congress not to do what's right for the American people. You know, I got to tell you, that's an eye-opener. When you have a foreign leader that is looking to our elected officials to not do what is in our best interest. Now, Mexico and the U.S. came up with a great deal. Both sides love the deal. But Trudeau is betting on our Congress not to abandon NAFTA and thus go ahead and approve the new U.S.-Mexico deal. That should tell you volumes, folks. Volumes. I don't know. What is the left resisting a good renegotiated deal? What is wrong with renegotiating? No deal, no trade deal is ever meant to last forever. There are always changes. Economies change, you know, currencies change, governments change, technology changes. We don't have trade deals that were first made and approved back in 1991 because they would not necessarily be apropos today. I know for you and Rush Limbaugh's Real Linda, that's a $7 word. So, but to have a foreign leader, yeah, and Canada's a foreign country. I realize how close that we've been over the past century or two. They're still a foreign country. They're not the United States. You now need a passport to just to prove it. You now need a passport to get into Canada. And didn't used to. Thanks to George W. Bush on that one, in the Homeland Security thing, and thanks to Canadians, Canada not being a little bit more judicious with their borders and allowing, you know, some of those 19 hijackers to get into Canada, thus find their way into the USA. So that was that whole deal. Supposedly, that was the reasoning behind it. But here you have Justin Trudeau, the president of Canada, basically the president, the equivalent. He's the prime minister, the equivalent of the president of the United States. Telling the Canadian people, oh, I have faith in the United States House of Representatives and Senate not to abandon NAFTA. Because NAFTA does benefit Canada in many ways, and it's detrimental to us. You know, it's detrimental to our auto industry and detrimental to our dairy industry and detrimental to our parts of our lumber industry. There are many parts. Look, 75%, I guess, of all exports that Canada has comes to the United States. And so, you know, there are people in Canada, you know, Canadian leadership, even within the Liberal Party of Canada, the ruling party now, that's saying there's no such thing as no deal with the United States. Now, granted, you don't have to accept a bad deal for Canada. And I'm not saying Canadians should accept a bad deal for Canada. They should. Remember what I always said. Every country has the right to do what's best for them. You know, United States, in the USA, it's USA first. In Canada, it's Canada first. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. I mean, some people think that there's that's just wrong, man. No, especially when you get talked to a leftist, it can never be USA first. Why not? It's France first in France. It's Britain first in Britain. You know, it's Russia first in Russia, China first in China. You know, in Canada first in Canada, why can't it be, you know, USA first in USA? What the hell is with people in hating on American citizens hating the USA so much? We're not the bad guys here. We never have been. Yeah, sure. We, as a country, we, you know, our government has made some mistakes, but we're not the bad guys. Oh, sure. We want to promote people having freedom, having economic and political freedom around the world. That's such a terrible thing. We're forcing it on people. We're not forcing anything. If we were forcing our way of life on other nations, we'd never let them go after we kicked their butts in war. We'd colonize them and say, you're now a possession and territory of the United States forever. We don't do that. We always end up turning it over. Unless, of course, they beg us to stay, like, you know, in the case of Guam. They really kind of, no, don't leave. Don't leave us. So, you know, hey, look, Puerto Rico is the same way. How many times have, you know, we've said to Puerto Rico, hey, you guys want to be a state or you want to stay a possession? And they've always said, you know what? We kind of like just being a territory possession type of thing. And only the last vote that they had did they decide, yeah, we should move forward and try to become a state. Puerto Ricans were very happy just to be a territory. Well, what has that got to do with the United States? We had nothing to do with that vote. They decided. Hey, we were telling them, hey, there are benefits to becoming a state, you know. No, we like being a territory. You know, we're unique. And the Puerto Ricans are unique. I mean, they're full-fledged citizens. You know, in Puerto Rico, they really don't get a say in Congress, and they don't get to vote for the president. But as soon as they step foot into the 50 United States, they automatically get a say. No, they don't have to go through any process or naturalization. Not at all. They're full-fledged citizens. Now, by the same token, if you're a 50-stater and you move to Puerto Rico and that's your home, well, you don't get any representation really either. But that's the way the Puerto Ricans wanted it. We had nothing to do with it. You know, the 50-staters. We had nothing to... Look, you guys make your own decision. You want to be independent? No. That's always been flatly, overwhelmingly denied. Hey, let's make our own country, the island nation of Puerto Rico. Ah, hell no, man. So, when they've had the choice and decision, they overwhelmingly voted to remain with the United States. And they voted to remain a territory. Now, only recently, the last election before Hurricane Marie, they had voted to proceed with trying to become a state. Well, they got a lot of work to do in order to become a state. There are a lot of rules and regulations in order that they have to come into compliance with for that. But that's up to them. So is that a bad thing? We said, go ahead and vote if you want to become independent, you know, your own nation. Hey, we've done it for other countries, you know, countries today. You know, we've let them go. We've said, hey, here, it's your country. We're not here to colonize you. And Puerto Rican said, nah, we'll stay in the U.S. Okay. But somehow that's our fault. We're bad for that because Puerto Ricans want to stay U.S. citizens. How is that a bad thing? So, again, Puerto Ricans were looking out for their best interest, what they felt was their best interest, by staying a part of the USA. And there's nothing wrong with that. If they thought it was in their best interest to be an independent island nation, there's nothing wrong with that. They have the choice. So, again, you leftists, what the hell are you resisting? Trudeau, up there in Canada, what are you resisting? No deal is better than a bad deal? Do you realize that, no, your bad deal is going to mean tons of terrorists slapped on a lot of your products and services crossing the border, including automobiles, which happens to be one of the biggest industries in Ontario, which means your Liberal government is going to get its ass kicked in the next election because they made it very clear. The Liberal governor of Ontario has made it very clear. We stand no chance of winning and keeping power without the vote of Ontario. And if you don't do something and we get hurt over here in Ontario, our party's dead. That's exactly what he said. So you have a country, an entire, you know, he's not putting Canada first because he's depending on the United States Congress to do it for him. How is that putting Canada first? Oh, because he's resisting Trump, so that's good. But that's not putting Canada first in Canada. You don't put your country first by relying on another country's political body. That's not the way it works. It's asinine. So anyway, you got a bunch of people here who are resisting. Every time I see that on as a hashtag on Twitter, I no longer cringe. I just ask the question, what are you resisting? Resist what? Trump, man, don't you get it? No, I don't. That's why I'm asking, because nobody's ever answered me. You know, I love these people. Well, if you don't know, then I can't tell you. Well, if you can't tell me, then you don't know either. I can tell you exactly what I believe and why I believe it. And you can't tell me why you believe in this resistance movement, which means you don't know either. If you can't tell me. Now, I don't care if it's even the dumbest reason, most illogical reason. You got to have some reason for resist. Other than, well, he's just Trump, he's bombastic, he's not presidential. That's a bunch of BS. Give me something real. Because if your standard of being presidential is Obama, then let's face it, Hillary wasn't presidential either. I mean, come on. You don't even know what being presidential means. As a matter of fact, if you were to actually read the histories of our early presidents and our founders, you'd realize that Trump is more like them than Obama. So are you saying George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, you know, all the way up to maybe even Abraham Lincoln, they weren't presidential? You're saying Teddy Roosevelt wasn't presidential? I mean, we haven't had anybody more bombastic than Teddy Roosevelt, except now for Trump. But Roosevelt is considered one of our top presidents. But he wasn't presidential? Nobody says that about Teddy. But in any case, go ahead and resist all of that if you want, I guess. I don't know. I still don't know what the hell you're resisting. Resisting a great economy. Statistics yesterday came out. Hispanics, you know, Latinos, people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Highest median income for Hispanics in this country ever. Highest median income for Hispanics ever. A week before that, the report came out, highest median income in the USA ever. Nearly $62,000, meaning half the people earn more and half the people earn less than $62,000. That's ridiculous. No wonder there's so many people falling off of food stamps and SNAP and welfare. I just saw it the other day. A company that had advertised, 1550 an hour. Well, I think it was 1555, but let's just say 1550 an hour to start. They raised it by a buck. 1650 is now the minimum start. Do you realize that's a high school kid graduating, going to work in a warehouse at 18 years old, making almost 40 grand a year, no college degree. And you might say, that's a dead-end job. Really? You sure? You don't think that while he's there, he can take some college classes, get a degree? You don't think that while he's there, because his hard work could get him promoted? There are a lot of CEOs that began in their various companies at an entry level, and they were there. They've been there for 30 or 40 years. They just progressively moved up the ladder. The corporate ladder as the years went on. Now, who says some kid out of high school couldn't join this company, this warehouse company, and end up 30 years from now being the CEO? It happens. More often than people want to admit. And they don't want to admit it because, hey, you're supposed to go to college first. $16.50 an hour to start. All you got to do is be able to lift. Well, maybe that's a problem with some of these little wimpy, mamby pajama boys. They can't even lift their own body weight and a chin up even once. Has anybody seen that, the exercise? There is a report on the health of the American man. Well, Generation Z and Millennials, they have a problem. Their sperm count is down by as much as 60% compared to their grandfather. So, yeah, indeed, boys are turning, are not turning into men in the United States. They're trying to remain boys. There is also this physiological report that men today are physically weaker than their grandparents' generation. So basically, baby boomers have raised weak men. And these kids are not as strong as their greatest generation grandparents were at their age. And they've got a new term. Well, it's not a new term anymore, but it was a new term invented, about a decade ago called manorexia. And it had really nothing to do with eating disorders. Anorexia is usually an eating disorder for women. There were a growing number of men, and psychologists were beside themselves trying to figure out why a growing number of men were developing anorexia, because it typically is a female thing. But they came up with a term called manorexia because it was now we call them beta males. They have no upper body strength whatsoever. Many of them can't even do one, let alone a minimum of decent physical strength of five. They can't even do one chin up, meaning they can't even lift their own body weight. And they don't weigh anything. That's the other thing. You run around college campus, if they're not fat, then all they are is like a $1.20 or a $1.30. They don't weigh anything. It's not like they're weighing 170 or something. And yet we're out there, constantly trying to. Did you know that there are high schools now that are removing weight gyms within their high school because it promotes aggressive behavior in males? Lifting weights promotes aggressive behavior. Well, what the hell is their wrestling and football and lacrosse team supposed to do? This is the kind of stuff, the kind of crazy leftist crap that's going on in our country. And these are the kind of people that Justin Trudeau is relying on in order to save his very beneficial to Canada, the very bad to USA NAFTA deal. I'm just saying. It's an amazing. What we're witnessing today is something that is completely. I'm wondering if all the other previous generations, throughout the centuries, are up in heaven or down in hell, looking down or up on the USA and saying, what the hell is going on there? For the first time in human history, we have people actually protesting the government to take away their rights. Usually if you protest, you're protesting, or if you go into civil war, or you try to depose your government because you want more rights. You don't threaten to do the opposite. Now, great, I know that there have been government overthrows where, a communist or some dictator takes over. But there is no real, in that particular case, you have a leadership. You have a leader who's you know, all bummed. This is the way we need to do this. And there's really not a lot of protesting about it. They just, you know, start a war. And you get people to back them. Yeah, because they're going to be in power. The people who, you know, yeah, this is the way it needs to be. This is the way we're, because these people, these wealth, it's always against the wealthy, rich. You ever notice that? It's always against the rich. But it often depends on what you consider to be rich. Hey, South Africa. You know, they call them rich white farmers, and they're taking their land. And they're not rich at all by any world standard. They're not rich. But they're white, and that's all it takes. If you're white and you're a farmer in South Africa and you own land, you're rich. So it's always the so-called rich people who take the, who get the blame for everything. But never have I seen a group of, or a generation of people at any time actually protest a government without, you know, without wanting to change a government, just say protest a government. Hey, get rid of our First Amendment, our freedom of speech rights. Get rid of our right to protect ourselves, so you can take away our guns and other stuff, other weapons. Because now you're talking about some places, some places in the United States talking about knife control. You can't even get into Canada from the USA with a pocket knife. I'm not kidding. And now you've got some people that want, you know, economic equality, so they want to take from some people and to give to others. And we have this so-called Chicago is looking to and thinking about experimenting with basic income. Yeah, you know what it's going to be? $500. But you know what it's going to be to the people they give it to? It's going to be just enough, you know, kind of like a job, the acronym for job, just over broke. It's going to be just enough to keep some of these. Well, they're going to start out with 1,000 people, is what Rahm Emanuel wants to do. And it is going to be just enough to keep those 1,000 people from looking for a real, keep them from looking for a real job. Hey, I'm okay now. I can pay my rent. I can pay my Obama phone. I'm good. I'm all good now. That's all I needed was that additional five. I'm good. $500, that makes me good. It's designed to keep people poor. Don't doubt me. You know, and they want to take away, they want the government to take away their Fourth Amendment rights. No, they should be able to do whatever the hell they want. At the same time, they also hate police. Yeah, I don't get that either. They love big government, but they don't like government police. Well, how the hell are you going to have big government if you don't have laws that are enforced by the police? I'm still, this is why I ask, well, what the hell are you resisting? You're not making any sense. You're out there protesting to tell the government to take away your right to protest. And now you're telling the government to go ahead and just basically own everything and take away your Fourth Amendment rights, but you don't want the police on the street enforcing the government laws that you want instituted. These people make absolutely no sense. Does anybody else see this? I mean, maybe I'm rambling, but this doesn't make any sense. I think she's a Gen Xer, right? Is Kavanaugh's a Gen X? That's my generation. I know. We've got bad seeds and bad apples too. But now we're also producing nut jobs that aren't even sure when they were also almost raped. Where they were almost? Yeah, it was in high school. No, it was at a party. Was it at a party? Yeah, it was a party. How many people were there? Oh, like 5 or 6. That's not a party. Well, there were 3 boys in the room. No, there were 2. You know, you experience a traumatic thing like this so bad that you had to go see your own you're a psychologist, psychotherapist, psychobabble, whatever. And you don't even, you have to, this is such a traumatic experience that you have to go see your own psychologist or psychiatrist, and you can't remember exactly what happened. By the way, I got some news on that. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we'll take a... people, don't go away, because I've got some news about this woman that might shake your foundations. Oh, yeah, it's going to shake you to your core.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
You're listening to The Rod Echols Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosett Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosettJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candy, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Six zero three four nine nine seven three two five is the Hot Rod line, or you can this morning use the Skype to Skype using Rod Echols. if you are so inclined to do that. It is 603-499-7325 is the dial number if you want to try that instead, which I'd prefer anyway. But leave the Skype to Skype open for other things. But, you know, you can do it if that's what you prefer. If you already have access, if you have access to it, you can't say, you know, you can say ask as ax, but you can't say, is it ask us? No, you can't. That doesn't work. So I'm trying to do some, what is it called? Ebonics here. I'm trying to make up some Ebonics words. And I guess I failed at that one. In any case, what we got going on here is this new breaking report. Now this comes via Kevin Jackson of the Black Sphere. And so I haven't had that. This just came across this morning, just before I went on air, and I quickly perused through it and, you know, did the speed read through. And this is the stuff that I got out of this. Now I haven't had the chance to fully vet this, but you should know about it anyway, because we all know that with the left, anything is possible, especially when it comes to this whole Kavanaugh issue. Yes. Ford evidently, according to Kevin Jackson of the Black Sphere, Kavanaugh accuser may have sent the same letter about Gorsuch, which is why Feinstein did not release the letter almost immediately after she read it, because she was trying to vet this person. Oh, really? I think maybe Mr. Kevin Jackson is giving Feinstein a little too much credit, but considering that, you know, who she's had working for her over the past 20 years. But let's just give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she held on to it because she was trying to wait. Didn't you accuse Gorsuch of the same thing again? So they have a new, you know, the left, obviously they've dropped Stormy Daniels. And she's still trying to remain relevant. Did you see she's out there trying to talk about the size of Trump's manhood? Let me tell you something. It's mixed. You get mixed feet. When you ask different women, it's different. Some say it's the size of the submarine that counts. And some say, nope, it's the motion of the ocean, because some guys might be well endowed, but they don't know how to use it. And some guys may not be well endowed, and they know how to use it. Did you know that there's according to one of these Stormy Daniels stories, there's a society, there's a website for men of lesser endowment. I did not know that. I didn't want to know that, but now I do. You know what they say about knowledge is power, but also once you know something, you can't not know it. If I'm going to have to take some of these, you know, these eyeball arrows, I'm going to share some of them. I'll share it all with you, but now you know too. Yes, there's websites for everything, so why not that too? No, I don't know what they are. I haven't visited, so you're going to have to find them for yourself. But evidently, according to this story, one of these, and there are many of them, with Stormy Daniels talking about the size of President Trump being teeny tiny. Okay, I don't particularly care. Hey, if he is, let's say, lesser endowed, and he's compensating, well, he's doing a damn good job of compensating. Usually, you know, you ever notice how small men, little men, and I'm including Kevin Hart. Everybody knows who Kevin Hart is, comedian, right? Small men tend to compensate with big vehicles. I'm not kidding you. I've seen, and this is what small women do too. I mean, small women used to be the ones that, you know, during the day, you drive around town and you all the big SUVs, you know who's driving them? Little women, 5 feet to 5 foot five, you know, just little women. You know who's driving the big trucks or the giant truck-like SUVs? Small men. And I'm not talking about their manhood size either. I'm talking about their stature. Now you see these big ass trucks running around town, And then all of a sudden, the guy that gets out, you know, he's like 5'6". It makes you want to crack up, but that's a true psychological case. It's called, you know, male compensation. Now, women just feel safer in the bigger cars. The smaller they are, the bigger the car is, they feel safe. That's not the case for men. They're compensating for something that they're lacking. So Trump just compensated by becoming a multi-billionaire twice. And then he compensated by becoming one of our best presidents ever. And you might do that twice in 2020. So if that's the way he's compensating, I'm all for it. Go right ahead. Keep compensating, Mr. President. I don't care. Notice nobody's, she's not, Kavanaugh's accuser isn't talking about his male member. Because evidently it was almost rape, so she didn't see it. Now that's it. But this is the story from Kevin Jackson and his Black Sphere. And he writes, and now they have a new poster child by tossing away Stormy Daniels and picking up Professor Christine Blasey Ford, who originally came forward as an anonymous accuser to accuse Judge Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault 36 years ago when she was 15 and he was 17. Now, we finally got some exact ages. Remember, I thought this was very important, actually. She was 15, he was 17. They were at the same high school together. Did Kavanaugh and Gorsuch go to the same high school? I don't know where I don't know where either one of them went to school, to tell you the truth. I don't really care. Interestingly, you can't provide details except to say that the event happened at a party. Based on an interview by her attorney, there were four boys, including Kavanaugh, and two girls. That constitutes more of a get-together than a party. So six people were at this party. By the way, I haven't heard from the other so-called alleged girl that was at this party talking about, the boys were just out of control. I didn't hear that. Her attorney said that it was investigators' duty to get the particulars. Wait, this is the other thing I don't get about this. It's not about this is Ford's attorney saying she doesn't have to corroborate anything. She doesn't have to prove anything. Well, the hell she doesn't. She's the one doing the accusing. Now, Ford's attorney is saying, well, it's the investigator's duty to get the particulars. Well, wait a minute. If she's going to make an accusation, she's going to have to be very clear of when this sort of event took place. Now, I've seen enough, SVUs on television to know that they ask some pretty pointed questions of the accuser. You know, when, where, how, and who. All the W's and the H. And if the woman or the accused, not always a woman, but if the accuser can't put an answer to all those, they have a problem. Because the only way to prove or disprove in this sort of case is by the two parties involved. You know, the victim and the perpetrator. Unless there's an eyewitness, which there usually isn't in a rape, you've got two people, or maybe three when two guys are raping a single woman. So you got the perpetrator and you got the victim. There's nothing else. She has to answer their questions, and she's got to be able to do it truthfully and accurately. How is it that's not the investigator's job for the victim to be truthful? How are they supposed to know? Are they supposed to try to figure out when this happened? Oh, it's not her job to tell them when it happened. Then whose job is it? There's no way in hell somebody could put together a timeline of when something happened like this unless one of the two parties, the victim or the accused, tells them. At least gives them a general, well, it happened when I was in high school. Okay, you got 4 years of high school now, lady. What year? Well, Kavanaugh was there. Okay, so you were, depending on your age, you know, you could spend all 4 years together. Okay, so there's a two-year difference between you, so that means you were in school together for 2 years. So when did it happen? He said, Me Too fraud expect a man to recall a party he supposedly attended 36 years ago where he may have felt up a 15-year-old horny girl. Well, if that's all it takes is to get to second base, then I know a whole lot of men out there in high school, back in their high school days, who would now be guilty of almost rape. It's a natural thing. Sometimes girls allow it, sometimes they don't. We all know this. Now, Frank, I know there are some dads out there that are getting really squeamish now because they have daughters and they're like, ugh. Because one, they know how they were when they were teenage boys. And two, they know how some teenage girls are. And they're hoping and praying to God that their daughter isn't one of those teenage girls that they're cringing over. You know you know it's true. Let's put the hard facts out there. Many American male in their teenage years, high school years, have tried to get to second base with a girl. Some have succeeded willingly. Some have succeeded and then been slapped. And some haven't succeeded at all. And yet for most males, if you try to get to second base and the girl just, you know, nope, you let it go. But some girls, I mean, that's all you're going to get is second base, but some girls like it. You know this is true. I know there are a lot of people out there. I know people like Rush and Hannity won't touch this, but I'm telling you, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm telling you is the truth. And for the most part, it's pretty damn harmless. You know, you go from first base, which is making out, and next thing you know, a little bit of heavy petting, and you get to second base, and the girl says, oh, you know, she doesn't say no. So then, of course, the hand tries to slip down and go to third base, and that's when nearly every boy gets slapped away. And I say nearly every, because girls have a limit. Rightfully so. But if all this is getting to second base, and now they're going to construe 36 years ago, getting to second base is almost rape? Okay. Now, Ford has this and a host of other issues that don't pass the smell test, according to Kevin Jackson. According to this tweet, Ford may have sent the same letter about sexual abuse about Gorsuch. This is from Josh Cornett's tweet account, The Real Cornett. Breaking, according to sources, Dianne Feinstein's reluctance to mention the Kavanaugh accuser's letter during confirmation session is because the accuser sent a similar letter directed at Judge Gorsuch last year. Now, the whereabouts of the earlier letter remain a mystery. Story developing. Okay, should we put off Kavanaugh's confirmation hearing because we need to investigate Ford? No, we shouldn't. They should have. By the way, when I last checked this morning, she hasn't responded to the invitation to testify on Monday. I thought she said she'd be right there, you know, first in line to do so. Well, first, that's after, of course, she stopped wanting to be anonymous. I'm just wondering if they were shopping around for a face to put with this letter. If the letter wasn't created by Feinstein or one of her staff, and they were looking for a face to put to the letter, and somebody, some crazy nut job professor finally agreed. Just say, by the way, Stormy Daniels' newest claim that Hillary had plans with Trump with her book due out in October. I don't know what that's about. I don't know. Some people are going to. Of course these people are going to go crazy, because this is the kind of stuff that used to bring down even the most prominent of politicians. Anybody remember the monkey business and Gary Hart? That incident took Gary Hart out of the presidential race faster than you know what. But Democrats have come to realize, you know what? We're the ones that started this sexual nonsense, and we're the ones that are being harmed the most. I mean, this is how stupid these people are. They keep perpetuating this false notion about you know, all sex is rape, and the people who are getting caught and hammered and thrown in jail or thrown out of various offices are mostly Democrat. So whenever they get the chance to reel in a Republican, oh, they're going to go hard and heavy on it. You can just hear them panting now. Taking down a Republican is like sex for Democrats. Now, that might explain a lot, by the way. Yesterday, I told you about the Trump releasing or declassifying a handful of documents. Handful of documents pertaining to this whole Russia collusion thing. And I told you then. Now, this was the 18th, between 9 a.m. and noon of September 18th. I told you that they were going to they were going to redact these pages, and that the only way that they were going to be unredacted is if President Trump himself went over to these offices, demanded to have the files, take the files over and have them copied, and then hand deliver those copied files to those people who were requesting them without redacting anything. Because if he relied on them to do it, they were going to redact it. Then on September 19th, a day after I said it, at 4 a.m., Bloomberg, the first to print it, says the FBI and DOJ plan redactions despite Trump's document order. The president clearly ordered unredacted documents. The FBI and DOJ are still planning to redact certain portions of these documents. Now, the president, just by ordering the declassification of these documents, they're now declassified. And frankly, anybody who the president says can see them can now see them. They're not classified anymore. But yet the FBI and DOJ, the swamp, is going to act like they're still classified and redact them. I told you this was going to happen. That was my prediction. And here it is in black and white. President Donald Trump has demanded the immediate declassification of sensitive materials about the Russian investigation, but the agencies responsible are expected to propose redactions that would keep some information secret. According to people familiar with the matter, the Justice Department, FBI, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence are going through a methodical review and can't offer a timeline for finishing. It said the people who weren't authorized to speak publicly about. Now, what was it, a total of 33 documents? How long does it take to read 33 pages? Most people, even with an eighth grade education, can do that with at least within a half hour. But they can't tell us how long it's going to take to read and possibly determine what needs to be redacted in now unclassified documents. folks, the deep state is so, they are in it so deep. Now, of course, what they're trying to figure out is they're all going to huddle together and say, okay, now the president has just declassified this, but we can't let some of this information get out. This is exactly what they're talking about. We've got to redact just enough so they can't really figure out exactly who did what, when, where, and how. But we've got to make it look like we're not trying to cover up the whole thing. Because, you know, remember, you know, you've had a few congressmen hold up pages of documents, and literally 99% of the page was redacted. He's like, why did they even waste freaking paper? So now they're going to huddle to try to figure out how to redact a declassified document. Now, remember, these congressional people, especially on these judicial committees and intelligence committees, they have high clearances. So even the redacted stuff, they have the ability or the clearance level to read it anyway. So understand that. These congressmen and senators, they have the security clearances to read this stuff. And yet you've got people in the FBI and the DOJ who are saying, well, no, this is too sensitive. And now the president says, well, screw that. I'm just going to declassify everything. The entire document is declassified. Anybody can see it or read it. And they're going to huddle and see, well, we still got to redact. We still got to hide stuff. If that isn't proof of their guilt, I don't know what it's going to take. At this particular point, you could have Peter Strzok, you know, smirky smirk, absolutely just decide, you know what? I admit everything. And the left would still say, Trump did it. You know, you could get, you know, Peter Strzok, you could get Comey saying, yeah, this was a setup from the beginning. There was no Russian collusion between Trump and the Russians or Putin. And the left would still be out there saying, Trump did it. He did it. Impeach, 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 impeach. It doesn't matter. It's already out there. They don't give a damn. They don't care. It's not about the truth for these people. It's not about the facts of the truth. If it were about the facts and the truth, if that's all they were after, we would be having trials right now of certain people who were involved, including Hillary Clinton, and possibly even an investigation or an indictment of Barack Hussein Obama. I am not kidding. We know what the hell was going on. Mueller uncovered it, even if it was by accident, it was still uncovered. We know that Hillary Clinton was cleared of any possible wrongdoing before the investigation took place. We know she was said to be, oh, she didn't know what she was doing. She didn't mean to do it before Comey even interviewed her. So that basically the left was saying that Hillary Clinton was a dumbass and really isn't qualified to be president. They don't even realize that that's exactly what they did. I didn't know I couldn't do this, and I didn't put this stuff on here. And she lied about it. There's no classified data. Madam Secretary, there's classified data on here. What? I didn't know. If you didn't know, you're a dumbass. And definitely not the most qualified person to be president. Just saying, folks. Just saying. Got all this crap that's going on, and Democrats, none of it passes a smell test. None of it. None of it. Up next, after the break, which is really quick, don't forget, now, top of the hour breaks are quick, we have the Intel report, so don't go anywhere.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.